Welcome back to the Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. Today we're talking about Prologue, Chapter 1. Wait, Epilogue? Prologue? What word do I mean right now? What's the difference? Epilogue. Epilogue. I think I've been saying prologue for like 2 days, I just realised. We're talking about the epilogue, which comes after the story, not the prologue. Did I get that right on everything? Man, now I'm not sure. Epilogue. Yeah, okay. Cool. Epilogue, chapter 1. A plan of escape. Are you surprised? What do you hope happens with this plan? And how do you think it will sit with Alyosha's conscience? I am Norwegian said, I will definitely be participating in the next book discussion. These discussions have become a nice habit, and I'm unlikely to start a Tolstoy book on my own. Thanks for the nice comments yesterday. Oh, dude, you're welcome. No problem at all. We're not doing Tolstoy next, though. I had to burst your bubble, if that's what you meant by that. We're doing E.E. Cummings, The Enormous Room. But we will be reading two Tolstoy books, so maybe that's what you're referring to. I'm really looking forward to The Enormous Room, and I'm also really looking forward to Anna Karenina, which is coming up at some point. I am Norwegian said, they are going through with the plan to escape. They are planning to do it during the third stage of Dmitri's march to Siberia. At the time, exiles to Siberia were usually marched there. It was done in several stages. First, to some provincial mastering center, then on to the Sibirsk Tract across the Urals, and in some cases on to the Sakhalin, in an island north of Japan, 11 time zones away. What? 11 time zones away? Jeez. Funnily enough, the footnote doesn't mention what the third stage is. What a brutal way to end up in prison, having to march for a ridiculous distance. I did end up getting a little lost in the Katarina's conflicted emotions and drama. She is still the most confusing character in the book to me. Mango Mondo said, yeah, Katarina is an endless mystery. I was listening to a lecture on the book, and the professor suggested the female characters share the characteristics of their male suitors. I think it makes sense. Dmitri is torn between Katarina and Grishenka, who represent his pride and passion, respectively. Dirt Burglar said, this little tidbit probably just helped me understand the book more than any other single thing, so thank you for that. If you're interested, this is a lecture series. It's long and discursive, but the professor seems like a real authority on the subject of Brother Karamazov. I'm going to open this up. Thanks, Waraka Akbar, for sending the link. Whoa, okay. It's a 10-hour YouTube video. This goes for 10 hours. That is quite... Oh, okay. It's 8 lectures in one video. That's why. God, man, what a thing. Herbert Dreyfus, A Companion to Phenomenology and Existentialism by Herbert Dreyfus. And it's all about the Brothers Karamazov, and it goes for 10 hours. Wow. Okay. Ah, and it's not even a video, it's just audio, 10 hours of audio. Well, I'm not going to listen to that right now. 10 hours. Probably won't ever listen to it, to be honest. I mean, on the one hand, I do want to know 10 hours worth of discussing this book. What? I'm sure I missed. I'm sure so much of this book went over my head. But at the same time, I really didn't enjoy this book all that much, so I don't really want to dwell on it for another 10 minutes and go any deeper into it. So, I'm a little conflicted. Laura Y. Stitch said, it's weird that Ivan happened to get a large amount of money right at the same time as he received the money from Smerdyakov, and then right after he starts hallucinating. What if he hallucinated the entire conversation with Smerdyakov and Dmitri actually did kill Fyodor? Ooh, okay, there's a little twist for you. Terrific said, this is brilliant. You found a flaw in Dostoy's plot device. Logically, it would make a lot of sense, but I guess we're supposed to, or at least led to believe, that the facts we've read really are the facts. In a way, you've demonstrated one of the problems with deconstruction. In any larger mass of text, you're bound to find contradictions. Perhaps that's why the interpretations can vary so vastly from each other, and the artist's intention is not always the most interesting one, or even the one that the reader finds. Techrific also said, well, Ander was right. In his podcast today, he predicted that the epilogue was not going to be an epilogue, but rather a direct continuation from the previous chapter. I was right. Go me. I did a thing. So proud of myself. Here are my random observations, says Tekrific. Alyosha is continuing to be reduced to what amounts to an errand boy between the other characters. His mission this time is to persuade Katerina Ivanovna to go and see Mitya. Yet why is he the little run-around errand boy? That's all he is in this book, isn't it? And some kind of like spiritual compass, I suppose. But yeah, he just does people's bidding. Katerina misdiagnoses herself, saying that her anger is the fault. Anger is just the expression of her eternal pride. It keeps getting in the way of her even now in her interaction with Ivan, Alyosha and Mitya. Alyosha's tactful handling of the careful manner is impressive. How Alyosha's conscience will handle the escape remains to be seen. He voiced no apparent opposition to Katerina when she broached the issue, and Ivan's gesture to Katerina can be seen many ways, but I think pride is still the modus operandi at heart, that maybe his illness is supposed to indicate something else, a change to his core, because Mitch's destiny and Ivan's part in it. Dirt Burglar said, I'm just remembering that Alyosha is supposed to be the hero of the novel. Is he the hero of the novel? Does that jibe at all with what we've read? I mean, I can see why he exhibits characteristics of a hero, but he hardly seems to be the protagonist in terms of the actual story. Which also makes me wonder, why did we get the digression with the children? That seemed like it was setting up something important, but then it was never revisited. Very true. Yeah, that just went nowhere, didn't it? Tekrovic said, I agree, this is disappointing. With almost 1,000 pages, this subplot deserved a little more attention. It really did. Uncle Jocelyn Mayer said, Here we get to know all the emotional turmoil Katya and Ivan have suffered as a consequence of Dmitri's situation. All their struggles, complicities, and disagreements have weakened their spirits and strengthened their solidarity. Now Katya takes care of Ivan's health. On top of that, she has to keep going with the plan of escape and face the new stressful situation. She has to see Dmitri, the source of all her pains. Beautiful minds, Dosto created the character of Ivan, an intelligent and cultured man who developed a mental illness and suffers from hallucinations that make him unable to tell reality from fantasy. Brilliant people with schizophrenia is something we have seen with some regularity in real life. Here's a short list of talented people who suffered from that mental disorder. John Nash, an American mathematician, Nobel Memorial Prize in Economic Service, among many other awards. He was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia at the age of 31. The movie A Beautiful Mind is based on his life. I did not know that. Edward Einstein, the second son of Albert Einstein. He was very intelligent and wanted to be a psychoanalyst. He was diagnosed at 20. Zelda Fitzgerald, she was an American novelist and socialite, an iconic figure of the 20s, wife of F. Scott Fitzgerald, famous author of The Great Gatsby, diagnosed at 30. Jack Kerouac, American writer, he enlisted in the U.S. Army and was diagnosed with dementia praecox, now known as schizophrenia. He was discharged and became the most famous writer of the Beat Movement, diagnosed at 21. That's very young for a schizophrenia diagnosis. Very cool. There we go. Schizophrenia is an interesting one. It's not what we were led to believe it was by movies like Fight Club and stuff where it's they depict multiple personality disorder, which I think even that has a different name now. But that's not schizophrenia at all. Schizophrenia is a paranoia that goes haywire and you become paranoid is the word, but oversensitive to stimuli such as suspicions, and what am I trying to say? What's the word? Connections? You make connections where connections aren't there. I'm sorry, it's really late. It's 2:30 in the morning. My band played a gig tonight, out in Frankston. It was a really good gig. It was really fun. But yeah, I didn't get home till just now. I should have done the podcast early, but shoulda, coulda, woulda, you know. I didn't end up doing that. So here I am at 2:30 in the morning, knackered, as we say here in Australia, absolutely knackered, doing a podcast. My band, by the way, is called Verona Lights. Verona Lights. Verona, like the city in Italy where Romeo and Juliet is set. Lights, as in lights. Why is it named that? I don't know. You'd have to ask my brother. It was named that well before I was in the band. My brother is the guitar player in the band, one of the founding members, and I only joined in the last few years. But, yeah, we played a gig. It was good fun. Okay, that also explains why my voice is all gravelly, because there was a lot of people smoking cigarettes, and a very loud environment meant I was talking loudly. Okay, cool. Now, if everyone is ready, let's move on and read Epilogue Chapter 2. Epilogue Chapter 2. Where is my... There it is. Epilogue Chapter 2. Where are you? Please be short. Oh, it's not short. Oh, it is short. It is short. Cool. Wait. 2? What chapter are we up to here? Yeah, 2. Okay. Chapter 2. For a moment, the lie becomes truth. He hurried to the hospital where Mitchell was lying now. The day after his fate was determined, Mitchell had fallen ill with nervous fever and was sent to the prison division of the town hospital. But at the request of several persons, Alyosha, Madame Kholokov, Liza, etc., Dr. Vavinsky had put Mitchell not with other prisoners, but in a separate little room, the one where Smerdyakov had been. It is true that there was a sentinel at the other end of the corridor, and there was a grating over the window, so that Vavinsky could be at ease about the indulgence he had shown, which was not quite legal, indeed. But he was a kind-hearted and compassionate young man. He knew how hard it would be for a man like Mitchell to pass at once so suddenly into the society of robbers and murderers, and that he must get used to it by degrees. The visits of relations and friends were informally sanctioned by the doctor and overseer, and even by the police captain. But only Alyosha and Grishenka had visited Mitchell. Rakitin had tried to force his way in twice, but Mitchell persistently begged Vavinsky not to admit him. Alyosha found him sitting on his bed in a hospital dressing gown, rather feverish, with a towel soaked in vinegar and water on his head. He looked at Alyosha as he came in with an undefined expression, but there was a shade of something like dread discernible in it. He had become terribly preoccupied since the trial. Sometimes he would be silent for half an hour together, and seemed to be pondering something heavily and painfully, oblivious of everything about him. If he roused himself from his brooding and began to talk, he always spoke with a kind of abruptness and never what he really wanted to say. He looked sometimes with a face of suffering at his brother. He seemed to be more at ease with Grushenka than with Alyosha. It is true, he scarcely spoke to her at all, but as soon as she came in, his whole face lighted up with joy. Alyosha sat down beside him on the bed in silence. This time, Mitchell was waiting for Alyosha in suspense, but he did not dare ask him a question. He felt it almost unthinkable that Katya would consent to come, and at the same time, he felt that if she did not come, something inconceivable would happen. Alyosha understood his feelings. Trifon Borisovich, Mitchell began nervously, has pulled his whole inn to pieces, I am told. He's taken up the flooring, pulled apart the planks, split up the gallery, I am told. He is seeking treasure all the time, the 1,500 rubles, which the prosecutor said I'd hidden there. He began playing these tricks, they say, as soon as he got home. Served him right, the swindler. The guard here told me yesterday he comes from there. Listen, began Alyosha, she will come, but I don't know when. Perhaps today, perhaps in a few days, that I can't tell. But she will come, she will, that's certain. Mitchell started, would have said something, but was silent. The news had a tremendous effect on him. It was evident that he would have liked terribly to know what had been said, but he was again afraid to ask. Something cruel and contemptuous from Katya would have cut him like a knife at that moment. This was what she said, among other things, that I must be sure to set your conscience at rest about escaping. If Ivan is not well by then, she will see to it all herself. You've spoken of that already, Mitya observed musingly, and you have repeated it to Grusha, observed Alyosha. Yes, Mitya admitted. She won't come this morning. He looked timidly at his brother. She won't come till evening. When I told her yesterday that Katya was taking measures, she was silent, but she set her mouth. She only whispered, let her. She understood that it was important. I did not dare to try her further. She understands now, I think, that Katya no longer cares for me, but loves Ivan. Does she? Broke from Alyosha. Perhaps she does not. Only she is not coming this morning, Mitya hastened to explain again. I asked her to do something for me. You know, Ivan is superior to all of us. He ought to live, not us. He will recover. Would you believe it, though? Katya is alarmed about him. She scarcely doubts his recovery, said Alyosha. That means that she is convinced he will die. It's because she is frightened. She's so sure he will get well. Ivan has a strong constitution. I, too, believe there's every hope that he will get well, Alyosha observed anxiously. Yes, he will get well, but she is convinced that he will die. She has a great deal of sorrow to bear. A silence followed. A grave anxiety was fretting Mitya. Alyosha, I love Grusha terribly, he said suddenly in a shaking voice full of tears. They won't let her go out there to you, Alyosha put in at once. And there is something else I want to tell you, Mitya went on, with a sudden ring in his voice. If they beat me on the way or out there, I won't submit to it. I shall kill someone and shall be shot for it. And this will be going on for 20 years. They speak to me rudely as it is. I've been lying here all night, passing judgment on myself. I am not ready. I am not able to resign myself. I wanted to sing a hymn, but if a guard speaks rudely to me, I have not the strength to bear it. For Grusha, I would bear anything except blows, but she won't be allowed to come there. Alyosha smiled gently. Listen, brother, once and for all, he said, this is what I think about it. And you know that I would not tell you a lie. Listen, you are not ready, and such a cross is not for you. What's more, you don't need such a martyr's cross when you are not ready for it. If you had murdered our father, it would grieve me that you could reject your punishment, but you are innocent, and such a cross is too much for you. You wanted to make yourself another man by suffering, I say. Only remember that other man always, all your life, and wherever you go, and that will be enough for you. Your refusal of that great cross will only serve to make you feel all your life even greater duty, and that constant feeling... Oh, my screen turned off just now. And that constant feeling, as I log back in, will do more to make you a new man. Make you a new man, perhaps, than if you went there. For there you would not endure it, and would repine, and perhaps it would say... At last would say, I am quits. The lawyer was right about that. Such heavy burdens are not for all men. For some they are impossible. These are my thoughts about it. If you want them, so much. If other men would have to answer for your escape, officers and soldiers, then I would not have allowed you, smiled Alyosha. But they declare that superintendent of the Etape stockade to Ivan himself, that if it's well managed, there will be no great inquiry, and that they can get off easily. Of course, bribing is dishonest, even in such a case, but I can't understand to judge about it because of Ivan and Ketch's commissioned me to act for you. I know I should go and give bribes, I must tell you the truth, and so I can't judge of your own action. But let me assure you that I shall never condemn you, and it would be strange, a strange thing, if I could judge you on this. Now I think I've gone into everything. But I do condemn myself, cried Mitya. I shall escape. That was settled apart from you. Could Mitya Karamazov do anything but run away? But I shall condemn myself, and I will pray for my sin forever. That's how the Jesuits talk, isn't it? Just as we are doing. Yes, Alyosha smiled gently.
I love you for always telling the whole truth and never hiding anything, cried Mitya, with a joyful laugh. So I've caught my Alyosha being Jesuitical. I must kiss you for that. Now, listen to the rest. I'll open the other side of my heart to you. This is what I planned and decided. If I run away, even with the money and a passport and even to America, I should be cheered up by the thought
that I am not running away for pleasure, but not for happiness, but to another exile, as bad, perhaps, as Siberia. It is as bad, oh yes, sure it is. I hate America. Damn it already. Even though Grusha will be with me, just look at her. Is she an American? She is Russian, Russian to the marrow of her bones. She will be homesick for the mother country, and I shall see every hour that she is suffering for my sake, that she has taken up that cross for me. And what harm has she done? And now shall I, too, put up with the rabble out there, though they may be better than I, every one of them. I hate that America already, and though they may be wonderful at machinery, every one of them, damn them, they are not of my soul. I love Russia, Alyosha, I love the Russian god. Though I am a scoundrel myself, I shall choke there, he exclaimed, his eyes suddenly flashing. His voice was trembling with tears. So this is what I've decided, Alyosha, listen, he began again, mastering his emotion. As soon as I arrive there with Grushenka, we will set to work at once on the land in solitude, somewhere very remote with wild bears. There must be some remote part even there. I am told there are still redskins there, somewhere on the edge of the horizon. So, to the country of the last of the Mohicans, and there we'll tackle the grammar at once. Grusha and I, work and grammar. That's how we'll spend 3 years. And by the time we shall, by that time we shall speak English like any Englishman. And as soon as we've learnt it, goodbye to America. We'll run here to Russia as American citizens. Don't be uneasy. We would not come to this little town. We'd hide somewhere, a long way off, in the north or in the south. I shall be changed by that time, and she will too. In America, the doctors shall make me some sort of wart on my face. That's the use of their being so mechanical, or else I'll put out an eye, let my beard grow a yard, and shall turn grey, fretting for Russia. I dare say they won't recognise us, and if they do, let them send us to Siberia. I don't care. It will show it's our fate. We'll work on the land here too, somewhere in the wilds, and I'll make up as an American all my life. But we shall die on our own soil. That's my plan, and it shan't be altered. Do you approve? Yes, said Alyosha, not wanting to contradict him. Mitya paused for a minute and suddenly said, and how they worked it up at the trial, didn't they work it up? If they had not, you would have been convicted just the same, said Alyosha with a sigh. Yes, people are sick of me here. God bless them. But it's hard, Mitya moaned miserably. Again there was silence for a minute. Alyosha, put me out of my misery at once, he exclaimed suddenly. Tell me, is she coming now or not? Tell me, what does she say? How does she say it? Excuse me. How did she say it? She said she would come, but I don't know whether she will come today. It's hard for her, you know. Alyosha looked timidly at his brother. I should think it is hard for her, Alyosha. It will drive me out of my mind. Grusha keeps looking at me. She understands. My God, calm my heart. What is it I want? I want Katya. Do I understand what I want? It's the headstrong, evil Karamazov spirit. No, I am not fit for suffering. I am a scoundrel. That's all one can say. Here she is, cried Alyosha. At that instant, Katya appeared in the doorway. For a moment, she stood still, gazed at Mitya with a dazed expression. He leapt pulsively to his feet, and a scared look came into his face. He turned pale, but a timid, pleading smile appeared on his lips at once, and with an irresistible impulse he held out both hands to catch her. Seeing it, she flew impetuously to him. She seized him by both the hands, and almost by force made him sit down on the bed. She sat down beside him, and still keeping his hands, pressed them violently. Several times they both strove to speak, but stopped short, and again gazed speechless with a strange smile, with eyes fastened on one another. So passed 2 minutes. Have you forgiven me? Mitya faltered at last, and at the same moment, turning to Alyosha, his face working with joy, he cried, do you hear what I am asking? Do you hear? That's what I loved you for, that you are a generous at heart. Broke from Katya. My forgiveness is no good to you, nor yours to me. Whether you forgive me or not, you will always be a sore place in my heart, and I in yours. So it must be. She stopped to take a breath. And what have I come for? She began again, with nervous haste. To embrace your feet, to press your hands like this till it hurts. You remember how in Moscow I used to squeeze them? To tell you again that you are my God, my joy, to tell you that I love you madly, she moaned in anguish, and suddenly pressed his hand greedily to her lips. Tears streamed from her eyes. Alyosha stood speechless, confounded. He had never expected what he was seeing. Love is over, Mitya. Katya began again. But the past is painfully dear to me. Know that you will always be so. But now let what might have been come true for 1 minute, she faltered with a drawn smile, looking into his face joyfully again. You love another woman and I love another man, and yet I shall love you forever and you will love me. Do you know that? Do you hear? Love, love me all your life, she cried, with a quiver almost of menace in her voice. I shall love you. And do you know, Katya, Mitya began, drawing a deep breath at each word, do you know 5 days ago that same evening I loved you, when you fell down and were carried out, all my life, so it will be. So it will always be. So they murmured to one another frantic words, almost meaningless, perhaps not even true, but at that moment it was all true. And they both believed that what they said implicitly. Katya, cried Mitya suddenly, do you believe I murdered him? I know you don't believe it now, but then, when you gave the evidence, surely you didn't believe it. I did not believe it even then. I've never believed it. I hated you for a moment. I persuaded myself. While I was giving evidence, I persuaded myself and I believed it. But when I'd finished speaking, I left off believing it at once. Doubt, don't doubt that. I have forgotten that I came here to punish myself, she said, with a new expression in her voice, quite unlike the loving tones of a moment before. Woman, yours is a heavy burden, broke, as it were, involuntarily from Mitya. Let me go, she whispered. I'll come again. It's more than I can bear now. She was getting up from her place, but suddenly uttered a loud scream and staggered back. Grushenka walked suddenly and noiselessly into the room. No one had expected her. Katya moved swiftly to the door, but when she reached Grushenka, she stopped suddenly, turned as white as chalk, and moaned softly, almost in a whisper, "Forgive me." Grushenka stared at her, and pausing for an instant in a vindictive, venomous voice, answered, "We are full of hatred, my girl, you and I. We are both full of hatred, as though we could forgive one another. Save him, and I'll worship you all my life." "You won't forgive her," cried Mitya with frantic reproach. "Don't be anxious. I'll save him for you," Katya whispered rapidly, and she ran out of the room. "And you could refuse to forgive her when she begged you forgiveness herself," Mitya exclaimed bitterly again. "Mitya, don't dare blame her. You have no right," Alyosha cried hotly. Her proud lips spoke, not her heart. Grushenka brought out in a tone of disgust, "If she saves you, I'll forgive her everything." She stopped speaking, as though suppressing something. She could not yet recover herself. She had come in, as appeared afterwards, accidentally, with no suspicion of what she would meet. "Alyosha, run after her," Mitya cried to his brother. "Tell her I don't know. Don't let her go away like this. "I'll come to you again at nightfall," said Alyosha, and he ran after Katya. He overlooked her outside the hospital grounds. She overtook her outside the hospital grounds. She was walking fast, but as soon as Alyosha caught her up, she said quickly, "No, before that woman I can't punish myself. I asked her forgiveness because I wanted to punish myself to the bitter end. She would not forgive me. I like her for that," she added in an unnatural voice, and her eyes flashed with a fierce resentment. "My brother did not expect this in the least," muttered Alyosha. "He was sure she would not come." "No doubt. Let us leave that," she snapped. "Listen, I can't go with you to the funeral now. I've sent them flowers. I think they still have money. If necessary, tell them I'll never abandon them. Now, leave me, please. You are late as it is. The bells are ringing for the service. Leave me, please." All right. There we go, another chapter down. We are very, very close to the end of this book. Have your say over on the Reddit. And thank you for listening tonight. I will see you tomorrow.